welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. We seem to be a hero-oriented society. In the baseball season, the man who hits the most home runs or has the best batting average is the hero of the moment. Then in football, it's the running back with the most yards or the quarterback with the most completed passes. In basketball, the leading scorer is often the hero of the hour. To the Galatians, in the first century, Abraham was undoubtedly a historical hero. Paul takes a bit of Abraham's family life and teaches a lesson in our studies that we'll be doing in a few moments. Yes, we're continuing our journey through the book of Galatians. We hope you're seeing a great value in this letter. Martin Luther wrote these words regarding Galatians: "Few books have made a more profound influence on the history of mankind than this small tract, for such it could be called." He also called Galatians my own epistle. We hope that this is the way you will feel about this letter when we complete it. If you would like these study notes that we're using, write to us. It will be a way for you to continue to study the book in the days ahead. Our address is given in the closing moments of each broadcast. Now, page 57 in our study manual. The motives of the false teachers differed from Paul's. They wanted a following. Paul wanted the Galatians to follow Christ. He was interested in their spiritual welfare. The false teachers were zealous in their efforts to win the affections of the Galatians, but their motives were not sincere. "They desire to shut you out from us," one translation puts it. The Judaizers wanted to cut the Galatians off from the Apostle Paul. They wanted a following and sought to form a sect in order to get it. Let's go now to Galatians 4, verse 21, and read three verses. This is where he introduces the argument concerning Abraham. Galatians 4, verse 21. "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise." Since the Jewish teachers made so much of Abraham and insisted that believers must follow his example by being circumcised, Paul turns to Abraham's domestic history to show that legalism is slavery and cannot be mixed with grace. God had promised that Abraham would have a son, even though he and Sarah were too old, naturally speaking, to have children. Abraham believed God, and thus was justified. Sometime afterwards, Sarah became discouraged, waiting for the promised son, and suggested that Abraham should have a child by her slave girl, Hagar. Abraham followed her advice, and Ishmael was born. This was not the heir promised by God, but the son of Abraham's impatience, carnality, and lack of trust. Then when Abraham was 100 years old, the child of promise, Isaac, was born. Obviously, this birth was miraculous. It was made possible only by the mighty power of God. At the customary feast in observance of the weaning of Isaac, Sarah saw Ishmael mocking her son. She thereupon ordered Abraham to expel Ishmael and his mother from their home. She said, "The son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son, Isaac." Thus you have the background for this lesson. Paul is going to present this lesson now to the Galatians. Let's pause for some music. We'll give you time to go over these verses in Galatians chapter 4. are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're glad you're listening. If these studies in Galatians are helping you, then you will probably want the study notes that we have made available for you. Please write to us for information. Our address is given in the closing moments of each program. An allegory is a story with a deeper meaning than at first appears. The real significance of the event is not expressly stated, but is implied. Thus, the true story of Isaac and Ishmael represents deep spiritual truth, which Paul now proceeds to explain. Let's read Galatians 4, verses 25 and 26. This is Galatians 4, 25 and 26. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. The two women represent two covenants: Hagar, the covenant of law, and Sarah, the covenant of grace. The law was given at Mount Sinai. Strangely enough, the word Hagar in the Arabic language means rock, and the Arabs called Mount Sinai the rock. The covenant given at Sinai produced slavery. This Hagar, a slave girl, was a fitting type of the law. Hagar, as a type of the law, represents Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish nation, and the center for the unsaved Israelites who were still trying to obtain righteousness by keeping the law. These, together with their children, their followers, are in bondage. For Paul to link unbelieving Israelites with Hagar rather than Sarah, with Ishmael rather than Isaac, was a stinging characterization. The capital city of those who are justified by faith is the heavenly Jerusalem. It is the mother of all believers, both Jew and Gentile. Now Galatians 4, verses 28 and 29. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. We just read Galatians 4, verses 28 and 29. Ishmael mocked Isaac, and it has always been true that those born of the flesh have persecuted those born of the Spirit. Consider the sufferings of our Lord and of the Apostle Paul at the hands of the unsaved. It may seem to us a trivial offense that Ishmael should mock Isaac, but Scripture records it, and Paul sees in it a principle that still abides, the hatred between the flesh and the Spirit. Now, those last two verses in Galatians 4, verses 30 and 31 of Galatians chapter 4. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. Paul urges the Galatians to make their appeal to Scripture and hear this verdict. Law and grace cannot be mixed. It is impossible to inherit God's blessing on the basis of human merit or fleshly effort. Those who have trusted Christ have no connections with the law as a means of obtaining divine favor. They are the children of the free woman, and they follow the social condition of their mother. One writer asks this blunt question: who is your mother? Are you a child of Hagar, or are you a child of Sarah? Are you a slave, or a freeborn child? It may be that in heart you are a child of the free woman, but like the Galatians, you have been acting as if you were a child of Hagar, under the rules and bondage of men, instead of walking in the liberty of the Spirit. If this is so, will you not even now turn away from slavery and all its miseries and openly take your place with the children of promise. Galatians 5, verse 1. This is the first verse of Galatians chapter 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Here we have a very good illustration of the difference between law and grace. The law would say, if you earn your freedom, you will become free. But grace says you have been made free at the tremendous cost of the death of Christ. Now in gratitude to Him, you should stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. The law commands us but does not enable. Grace provides what the law demands and then enables a man to live a life consistent with his position by the power of the Holy Spirit. As C.H. McIntosh says, the law demands strength from one who has none and curses him if he cannot display it. The gospel gives strength to one who has none and blesses him in the exhibition of it. We're sorry to leave this very important subject. If you have questions, please send them to us. Our address will be given in just a few moments. We close with this short poem. Run, John, and live, the law commands, but gives me neither legs nor hands. Far better news the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings.